All right, good morning. Good morning, church. We are going to dive into worship together, so please stand. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. How marvelous, how marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. For me it was in the garden, he prayed not my will but thine. He had no tears for his own griefs, but sweat drops of blood for mine. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. In pity, angels beheld him and came from the world of light to comfort him in the sorrows he bore for my soul that night. How marvelous, how wonderful, in my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me.
Church, it is great to be here with you today, whether in person or online. Pastor Forrest used to say, Boker Tove, to the folks online. I just thought I would throw that in there, a little throwback. This week we have a few short announcements. Coming up this next Saturday, we have a men's breakfast from 8 to 9:30 a.m. Be here in the fellowship hall. If you're a man of the church, you maybe know a man, a young man, maybe even a young man in your neighborhood, please be sure to come. Please be sure to invite. It'd be a great time of fellowship and teaching as well. Secondly, each week at 9:30 a.m. in room 202, Alan Sandlin is teaching a class called Grow Hour. It's a study in the book of James. Great opportunity to study God's word with other believers. And lastly, our Good News community groups are still being formed. So if you're not currently a member of a group, it's a great chance for you to enjoy some fellowship, spend some time discussing Pastor Forrest's sermons each week or each 2 weeks, depending on the schedule. On the backside of your bulletins, you can find a few different ways to help support the ministries of this church, whether in person or online. We encourage you to give generously as the Lord leads you. Thank you, church.
Thoughts wonder and awe. Give us a greater glimpse of a never-changing God.
Sing it out.
All we want and all we need is found in you, is found in you. Jesus, every victory is found in you, is found in you. Open wide our hearts now to yours. Every fear bow down to your love, that we would see like never before. Give us a greater glimpse of a never-changing God. All we want and all we need is found in you, is found in you. Jesus, every victory is found in you, is found in you. Oh, oh, oh. There is freedom, and in your presence we are made whole. In your presence there is freedom, in your presence we are made whole. Found in you, Jesus, every victory is found in you, is found in all we want, all we want and all we need is found in you, is found in you, found in you, is found in you, in you, is found in you.
Back to the 2000s.
The splendor of the King, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice. How great is our God, sing with me, how great is our God, and your how great is our God. Age to age he stands, and time is in his hands. Beginning and the end, beginning and the end. the Godhead, three in one. Father, Spirit, Son, the Lion and the Lamb. Lion and the Lamb, sing it out. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? And oh, we'll see how great is our God. He's the name above all names, name above all names, worthy of all praise. And my heart will sing, how great is our God. Sing the name above all, name above all names, worthy of all praise. And my heart will sing, how great is our God. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And oh, we'll see how great is our God. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And oh, we'll see how great, how great is our God. He's the name above all names, name above all names, worthy of all praise. And my heart will sing, how great is our God. Voices, name above all names, worthy of all praise. And my heart will sing, how great is our God. My mother's womb, you formed me with your hands, known and loved by you. Before I took a breath, when I doubted, Lord, remind me I'm wonderfully made. You're an artist and the potter, I'm the canvas and the clay. You make all things work together for my future and for my good. You make all things work together for your glory and for your name. Healing light just beyond the clouds. Though I've walked through fire, I see clearly now. I know nothing has been wasted, no failure or mistake. you're an artist and the potter. I'm the canvas and the clay. You make all things work together for my future. Fully made. You're an artist and a potter. I'm the canvas and the clay. And I know nothing has been wasted, no failure on the stage. You're an artist and a potter. I'm the canvas and the clay. When I doubt it, Lord, remind me I'm wonderfully made. You're an artist and a potter. I'm the canvas and the clay. And I know nothing has been wasted, nor failure or mistake. You're an artist and a potter. I'm the canvas and the clay. And you make all things work together.
Sing it out.
For my future. And for my good, you make all things work together for your glory and for your name. When I doubt it, Lord, remind me I'm wonderfully made. You're an artist and the potter. I'm the canvas and the clay. And I know nothing has been wasted, no failure or mistake. You're an artist and a potter. I'm the canvas and the clay. Oh, you're an artist and a potter. I'm the canvas and the clay. Yes, you're an artist and a potter. I'm the canvas and the clay.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Thank you, Jesus, that you are not finished with us. Lord, that you are not a God that gives us instructions, tells us the do's and don'ts, and then leaves us be. Rather, God, you are a personal God. You're a very close, nearby God. At any moment in our lives, you are here with us. Your Holy Spirit is speaking to us. God, I pray if we haven't been listening to you, that we would open up our hearts and our ears and we would receive what you have for us this morning. God, I pray that you would be with Pastor Forrest as he brings forth your word. And I pray that you would be with this congregation. And I pray that you would be with us as we go forth this week to spread your truth to the world around us, and that we would not be shy, and that we would be bold in telling people about your love, the love that we've experienced, Lord. And if we haven't experienced, I pray that we would this morning. God, I pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen.
Well, church, as we transition from our time of musical worship, would you please turn to your neighbor, maybe shake their hand and ask how they're doing today? Okay, if you can go ahead and have a seat. We have a video this morning from one of our missionaries, and I love y'all talking to each other, but I realized the last couple of weeks y'all talked to each other halfway through the video, which is totally okay, because I think that's really important. But this one, if you missed the first part of it, you're not going to know what's going on, so I want to get your attention at all. But I'm not trying to discourage you. I want you guys to talk to each other. Not during the sermon, but you can talk to each other any other time. It's fine, so.
Good morning, Redeemer Bible Church. The missions leadership team is proud to introduce to you once again through Missions in Touch this morning, Steve and Ruth Porter. are missionaries that spent many, many years in Nigeria and have retired and come back home to see how the Lord is going to use them in his service at home around in Tennessee. Steve, I'd like to, first of all, let you open up and say whatever you'd like to say, but I have a couple of questions for you, if you can greet the people.
Hello to our friends there at Redeemer. We pray for you often and think of you often and miss getting to be with you.
Okay. Ruth, do you have any greetings to say?
Well, I have a lot of greetings for a lot of people, but it would take too long a time.
I understand.
But what we're missing is a picture of them.
I'm sure we'll get together and take one and send it to you.
Okay, good.
In your Lord's putting you back in Tennessee, there's a lot of things that I'm sure that you have questioned. Is how the Lord is going to use you in the future. And from what I've talked to you a little bit before, he started opening some doors. And if you guys could share about the neighborhood buzz about strawberry pies.
When we got to Spring City, we found that we would wave at people and they wouldn't wave back. And only one person ever came to say welcome to the community. So we thought, okay, who are our neighbors and how do we handle this? So just like when we were in Nigeria, we went out to visit our neighbors. But we thought if we had something in our hands, they would be willing to accept us. So I make a very good strawberry pie.
That's an understatement.
And we made many, many, many strawberry pies that first year in 2023. And we went to visit our neighbors, and they were suspicious. They were worried, but they accepted the pie. And now we see people, and they say, it's spring. It's time for strawberry season again. And they're looking forward to the pies coming again.
We went to one of the places we went to is a man who's a commercial electrician and owns a company and just across the street and up the hill. And recently we needed a trench dug to bury the electrical to the ministry house. And we'd been waiting for more than a year for the man that we were trying to hire to do it, and he would never come. And the Lord arranged it that the electrician happened to be at a party with a former pastor of ours, and he said, your neighbor needs a trench dug. So the next week, Scott's here. He digs the trench over 150 feet long, and we paid nothing for it. Even better, we needed 7 trenches around our house for a drainage system. And he said, well, I can teach you how to use this in 10 minutes, and you can do it yourself. And so we've had the use of his excavator for all that we've needed. So it's just been something wonderful that the Lord has done. Okay. We had with that man, he's one of the ones that we were taking pies to, he and his family. And we were warned as we were going to other neighbors, they said, you need to skip the next hill, house up the hill. It's a drug house. And so that first day, we thought, oh, maybe we better do what they said. But then Ruth and I got to talking. If Jesus were here in this situation, he would not skip that house. And so we went back 2 days later with a strawberry pie for them, met the husband. In the last 2 years, the husband has left, but we went back at Christmas with Christmas goodies that we had made for all the neighbors. And I was invited inside, and for the first time, I met his wife. It was very unusual. She was high on something, but the thing that was hilarious to me is she said, this may be rude, but your wife makes the best strawberry pies in the world, and I'm hoping she comes with another one this summer.
That's truly opened doors and truly an area where God is leading you. And we'll be praying for this lady and hoping that indeed those doors will be open, and not only the doors, but her ears and heart. Okay. You've also been seeing another ministry pop up, not exactly looking for it, but God has brought it to you in the way of the young couple that needed counseling in a bad marriage.
Well, we heard about this couple shortly after we came to Spring City, and we heard that they were having marriage troubles. So we prayed for them. We thought about it. And then we thought, oh, but there's a lot of better people in this church to take care of them than us. And so then we kept hearing stories and nobody was helping them. And so I started praying, Lord, if you want us to be the one that works with them, have them come to us and ask us specifically. I prayed that prayer on Friday. Sunday morning, the man came in and found us in the church nursery, and he said, we really need help. Will you be the person that will counsel us? We said, we're not professionals. But he said, yes, and we know that, but we also know that your marriage is the marriage we want to have our marriage be like. And so they asked us if we would be able to do it.
We told them, you know, this is out of our realm. We'll help you as far as we can, but, you know, if you need more help, you'll have to go to a professional. And we take great comfort in knowing that though we don't have the answers, the Lord has the answers that they need. And I also take great comfort from knowing that in the Old Testament, the Lord spoke through Balaam's donkey. And if the Lord can speak through Balaam's donkey, surely he can speak through us things that they need to hear.
That's fantastic. The Lord has got a wonderful sense of humor, and thank you for yours. Is there anything else you want to add to us? With such a short time we have, but we love seeing your faces. And I noticed that, Steve, you got a farmer's tan. So you've been working outside a lot, haven't you?
I work outside a lot and enjoy it very much.
Okay. That's wonderful. Is Julie doing okay?
Julie's doing great. She just had a physical, and the doctor gave her clearance on everything. And other than the fact that she takes more time these days to take care of than she used to, she's really doing very well.
Good, good. We're glad to see your smiling faces and laughter and hearing that. It warms our hearts and it answers our prayers. And we do pray for you all monthly and more. We gather together monthly to pray for you all, but some of us carry your lists with us and pray for as God leads us. We're so glad to see you, and maybe we will get together and get a group picture to give you all to see our faces.
That would be
too.
Fun. Okay. That would be fun to see. We thank you for all your prayers, and we thank you for keeping up with us, even though we're retired.
Well, you're welcome. You're retired from the field in Nigeria, but you're not retired from our hearts and our prayers.
Thank you very much.
We love you guys and have a wonderful day.
We love you guys as well.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
So our first apartment search was foolish. Now, I'll tell you how that all came about. In some of the explanation, you'll have a little compassion for me, but the reality is the plan was foolish. It was just foolish. Lisa and I got married, and after we got married, we went on our honeymoon. We came back from our honeymoon, and we started working at a community that was right on Lake Michigan. And in that community was a bunch of homes, and the people who lived in those homes, most of them were believers, and so they hired like a youth pastor and a children's ministry person to work with the kids all summer long, and that's what we did. So our second honeymoon was on Lake Michigan, and we had a wonderful time. But as the summer began to close, we realized we need to find an apartment to go live in because we're not going to be here forever. And so I needed to go back to school at Moody, so we needed to find a place in Chicago. And so my brilliant plan was to drive around Chicago and just try to find a place to live. And that's what we did. And that was foolish. And I realize that now. And I, looking back, it was foolish because it was just, we had no plan. There was no preconceived where we were going. We're just going to go drive around and see what we could find. So we went to a couple different places, and one place that we went to was a place in a very bad neighborhood of Chicago, but what they mostly did was missionary housing. And so we were students, so we kind of qualified, and so they're like, okay, maybe that'll work. And so we ended up saying, we're interested in being here. It was the only person that said yes, so I thought that would work out. And so as it turns out, that's where we ended up. But every step of the way, the manager of the place gave me a hard time. Like, he just was riding me hard every step of the way. And part of the reason why he was doing that, I'm looking back on it now, I realized part of the reason he did that is because he was trying to communicate to me, hey, you can't do stuff like this. You can't just, like, walk into places and think you're going to find an apartment. And so it was a foolish way to do that. And part of the problem is we've learned over the years, and now that we're in the midst of another apartment search, we're learning a better way to do things. But at that time, it was very foolish. And there were a lot of reasons why that was. Some of it was we were busy. Some of it was just the Lord will figure it out. We're just kind of cavalier about things. It was very foolish. And I tell you that story because there is a dynamic that is in play today with many people. Many people are in a process of living their life, and they're making decisions based on whims. They're making decisions about where to live, what job to take, and all. They're making those decisions based upon what sounds like it would be fun, what sounds like it would be easy, or whatever. There's a lot of things, and people aren't really sitting down and coming up with a plan. Not everybody is this way, but a lot of people are this way. They're not coming up with a plan that's based on wisdom. They're not. And unfortunately, what happens oftentimes is people in the church do the same thing. The Lord has given us incredible amount of instruction. We're in the book of Proverbs. There are a lot of Proverbs that are applicable to all kind of areas in life. But even people who go to church and call themselves believers oftentimes live by their whims. They go along, they have a decision to make, and say, oh, that sounds good. And they do it. They're not slowing down and saying, okay, what's the wise thing to do here? Many people don't slow down and say, okay, what's the wise thing to do here? What does the Lord want me to do? They're just going along in life and living. And what ends up happening is many people, believers and people outside of the church, and people get to the place in their life where they're like, they've kind of made a lot of foolish decisions up to that point. And this morning what I want us to do is I want us just to stop and say, how do we become wise? How do we become a person who makes wise decisions? And it's not just necessarily so that we can make wise decisions for a better future, but how can we make decisions that are in line with how the Lord is working in our lives? How do we become wise? And it's a really important thing for us to talk about. It may be a very relevant thing for you at this stage of where you are in your life. But this morning we want to deal with the question is, how do we become wise? If you have your Bibles, I'd invite you to turn with me to the book of Proverbs. And we're going to talk about a communication from Solomon to his sons in chapter 4. And what Solomon does here is he recalls the instruction his father, King David, gave to him. And then he's telling his sons, this is what my dad told me, and this is what I'm telling you. And so he's giving them instruction. In the very beginning of this section, what he's talking about is how to become wise. Not necessarily how to make wise decisions, that will come later in the book, or not necessarily what to do in certain situations, but how to become wise. And so as he goes through this, he talks about some things that need to happen in a person's life for them to become wise. And what we're going to see here is that we become wise by walking wisdom, by actually doing wise things. We're going to talk about that. because just because you do wise things doesn't make you wise. We'll talk about that. Then we're going to talk about we become wise by writing wisdom. And it's the idea of writing wisdom on our minds, having it so ingrained in our mind, whether it's memorization or whatever, having that wisdom ingrained in our mind so that it becomes a part of who we are. And the last thing is that we can become wise by warming wisdom, by falling in love with wisdom. And that's a weird concept. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But the whole idea is Solomon is saying, hey, these are the things my dad told me, and I'm telling you as my sons, and I want you to understand, how do you become a wise person? And the thing that you start, that we start off with here is usually what we think logically is the end step. We think there's the attitude changes, there's these things that need to happen, and then the ending is to become wise, to do wise things. But actually Solomon flips it around. And he says the first place to start is by doing wise things. There's a lot of reasons why that may be the first thing. But let's look at it and see if we can understand where Solomon is coming from here. So we're going to be in Proverbs chapter 4, starting at verse 4, and we're going to be going all the way through verse 6 this morning. The first thing that that he says is you become wise by walking wisdom, by doing wise things. And verse 4 says this, he taught me and said to me. So from the context, the he there is King David. King David taught me, King Solomon, and he, David, said to me. So these are the words that King David taught to Solomon. He taught me and said to me, let your heart take hold of my words. Interesting here, he uses the analogy of a heart taking hold of it. And in this time period, also to some degree in our day, really the will is the heart is the thing that controls our will. And so what he's saying here is really desire after or long for or have a longing for my words. Don't just listen to my words and maybe go out and do them, but actually take them to heart. Be emotionally invested in the words that I'm giving you. He says, he taught me and he said to me, let your heart take hold of my words. Keep my commandments, which is a command. He's telling them, keep my commandments, the things, the steps that I'm going to tell you about how to be wise later in the book. He says, do those things. And then the last part is also a command. And live. So he's saying, keep my commandments and live. He's not saying, keep my commandments and then as a result of that, you will live. He's saying, keep my commandments and live. Make the choice to live. So just keeping the commandments doesn't necessarily mean that the person will live. You've got to also do some work to do that. And this whole idea, the whole communication here is that Solomon is encouraging his sons to be wise by doing wise things. And it's important to realize that there's a good reason why that's where it starts. It starts by doing wise things. A person doesn't become wise just because he does wise things, but that's a necessary component. And a person who is wise is a person who does wise things. But you have to do those wise things in order to learn their value. See, if I were to read in the Bible that the Bible says, hey, when you're in this situation, you should do this. And I just think, okay, well, if I'm in that situation, I should do this. That's completely different than when I'm in that situation actually doing something wise. I learn so much more that way. And that's the heart of what's being gotten at here. If you want to be wise, you have to start by doing wise things. These past few weeks, Lisa and I have been looking for a new place to live. We've been looking for an apartment. And one of the places that we looked is a new apartment complex called the Oliver. It's an apartment complex that's downtown. It's brand spanking new. It's real close to the city. And so as a part of our wise process, I went into the Oliver to check it out. And it was awesome. Okay, I'm just letting you know, it was awesome. I love technology, and this place had tons of technology. So in the apartments, the room, the lights were, they had these lights, you know, that shine up on the ceiling, and it made the whole ceiling look lit up. It was really cool. And the, all of them had these Wi-Fi speakers that were already connected in the room. And so it was just a really technological place, this apartment complex. And I got excited about it. And then as we're going to the elevator, the person who was showing me around used their phone and opened up the elevator, got the elevator working. And she said, if you have an Apple Watch, you can program that. So all you have to do is push the button and your Apple Watch will open it. And I'm like, oh man, this is so awesome. And I got super excited about the technology. And then I came home and I was going to tell Lisa, I was like, man, this is so exciting. This is the place we need to go because all this technology is wonderful. And we had to step back a minute and say, hold on. We have a process of how we're making this decision. We can't just jump into the first place that's got a bunch of technology. That's not how the process works. But that's the temptation for us and for others. As we're going through life, we come into a spot where we have a decision to make. And it's very hard to resist the urge, to resist the temptation to say, okay, what is the wise thing to do here? What does the Bible have to say about what I should do? What does the Lord think I should do in this situation? It's hard to fight the urge because you want to jump in and you want to make a decision. But that's what it means to be wise. Being wise is not being motivated by the whims of what you see and what you hear and what you think. Being wise is considering what is the wise thing to do here and then doing that, following in that wise plan. And for us, in order for us to walk in wisdom, to begin that first step, we need to be walking in wisdom, making wise choices. And I'll tell you from experience, that's not always easy to do because that decision-making process slows a bit. You have to slow down. You can't jump in and do things that you automatically want to do or that you think will be easy or that you've figured out. You have to slow down and you have to start thinking, what is the wise thing to do in this situation? And to help you with that, I challenge you this week to find one decision. If you're not already doing it, find one decision you have to make this week. Slow down and consider, what is the wise decision to make in this way? The first thing, how do you become wise? Become wise by walking in wisdom. Second of all, become wise by writing wisdom. And the idea here is writing wisdom on your mind, writing wisdom within your soul so that's a part of how you think. Probably better understood by memorization. We're memorizing a proverb, memorizing that wisdom and getting it in our mind. Look with me at verse 5. And the command here is acquire wisdom, acquire understanding. It's to get or to buy or to purchase. And some people believe this, these two things, acquire wisdom, acquire understanding. This is similar to a vendor in a market setting would be calling out to the potential buyers, hey, buy these apples, buy these lemons, buy these fruits, whatever it is. It's a similar cadence that's going on here. And many people believe, and I think it's probably accurate, that what is going on here is Solomon is communicating, get wisdom, get understanding, but they're not things that come easily, and they're not things that come freely. There are things you have to work at, you have to purchase in order to obtain. And either way, the command is to acquire wisdom, acquire understanding. And then the end of verse 5 says this, do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. The assumption here is you have those words, you have obtained them, you have them in you, and don't turn away from them and go a different direction. Don't forsake those and go somewhere else. Keep them, acquire them, and keep them is what the call is here. And really what is being communicated here is get that wisdom. If you can't memorize it, get that wisdom into your mind. Get it into your soul. Get it in and so far deep in you that it becomes a part of how you make decisions. Now this process of finding another, we had this whole decision-making process laid out.
And I developed it in my mind, and so I was sure I knew what it was, and I knew what the steps were we needed to do. But something happened. I found another apartment complex. This one isn't opened yet. It's called the Modera Trailhead. And it's a very nice complex, and you couldn't even visit it yet. So I went online, and I looked at the Google Maps, and I was looking where it was. And I looked at it, and I said, you know what? From the top floor, I think people could see the lake. They could see White Rock Lake. And I got all enamored with that and all excited about that. I was like, man, it would be so great to have coffee in the morning, to go out on my deck and look out, and there's White Rock Lake right there. And it would be so wonderful to see. But then I had to stop and sit back and say, hold on, time out. We have a decision that we have a wise process that we need to make about how this decision goes. I can't get excited and jump ahead of the process, jump ahead of the decision by wanting to be in a place that I could see the lake. Can't do that. Stick with the wise plan that's already been developed. And that's the thing, is I'm trying to help you to begin to understand that when it comes to being a wise person who is someone who is going through life and making decisions that are wise, and there's a temptation at every turn. There's going to be temptations all around to get off that process, to get off that trail, and to go a different direction because something looks fun or something looks like it's going to be enjoyable or whatever. And that's why it's critical for us to have that proverb concept, that wisdom ingrained in our spirit and ingrained in our soul. So that as we're making those decisions, even when there's these distractions left and right, we know that we're doing the right thing. So my challenge for you this week is, if you don't already have this, memorize it and commit it to memory. One of the verses that I early on committed to memory was Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your understanding, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he'll. And it's a proverb that I have committed to memory. And one of the things that's been so beneficial for me is that that proverb applies to so many different situations. It's almost a proverb that works in every situation. And it's so wonderful. But the reason is I didn't have to open up my Bible every time and be like, hey, I wonder what Proverbs has to say about this. It's already in my mind. It's already memorized. And that's the challenge I have for you, is to memorize a proverb this week. If you don't know which one to start with, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 is a perfect one. Many, many people have memorized that. It's a great one to memorize. I challenge you to memorize that as well. So as we're talking about how do we become wise, first, become wise by walking wisdom, by doing wise things. Second of all, we become wise by writing wisdom in our minds and in our hearts. And the last thing, we become wise by warming wisdom. We become wise by learning to love wisdom, have an affinity for that. Look with me at verse 6. It says, do not abandon her. Solomon often associates wisdom with a woman. He says, do not abandon her wisdom, and she will guard you. If you keep wisdom within your mind, within your frame of reference, and that's how you're making those decisions, that wisdom will protect you from making bad decisions. It will protect you from getting yourself into trouble. And the last part of verse says this, love her, love wisdom, and she will watch over you. And it's a strange concept to think. Wisdom doesn't seem like an entity that we can love. It's hard to understand. How do you love wisdom? But it is possible as we go through our lives and as you begin to see how wisdom plays such a significant role in the decision-making that you do, you begin to have an affinity for that wisdom. You're like, man, that piece of wisdom right there saved my tail a bunch of times. I really love that wisdom. And that's the idea, is getting to the place where you have a love for the wisdom. Now, instead of just saying, hey, I'm doing something wise because that's the right way to do it, it's beginning to think through your life and understanding how those nuggets of wisdom become such a valuable thing that you start to love them. And that's my orientation with Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. I love that proverb. I don't love that proverb like I love my wife, but I love that proverb. I love it. It works in so many different situations. And when I think back to the decisions in my life, and I think back to the times where I've called up that wisdom, I look back and I say, man, that Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 is something special. It really is, because it has been such a huge influence in my life, and it has helped me in so many ways. So this morning, what I've tried to do is to give you a pattern from what David taught Solomon and then what Solomon taught his boys of how do we become wise. And the first thing, we become wise by walking in wisdom. And I think it's smart for Solomon to say we start with doing wise decisions. I really think that's a smart way to go. But then the next thing he goes on to say is we become wise by writing wisdom in our mind, getting it so ingrained in who we are that we don't walk away from it. And the last thing is we become wise by learning to love wisdom, really appreciating the value that wisdom brings to our life and appreciating the wisdom, appreciating how the wisdom comes into play in our lives. Now, this past week, Lisa and I have finished the decision-making process, and we have landed, and hopefully on Thursday, we will be moving into our new place. And so we've chosen a place that fits most of the things that we were looking for, and it's in the right area, and it was a good choice. Something happened along the way that caused us to have to make a change. And one of those changes was we were expecting to move out at the end of May. But there were some things that we hadn't originally planned for that came into play, and we had to move it up. One of them was the incentives. There was this particular place we wanted to go had some really good incentives to move, and so we were like, we don't want to lose that, so we had to move our decision up. And in addition to that, as I was going in, I was measuring the living room for some of our furniture, and as I was going in, I was talking to the lady, and she says, yeah, just want you to know, there's a couple that's pretty serious about this specific apartment, the one you have your eyes set on. They've started the application. I can see online. They haven't finished it yet, but they've started it, so just to let you know, it might not be here. And so in that part of a situation, I thought, man, what should we do? Should we just wait and see what happens, or should we move our plan up a little bit? And the first thing is I felt comfortable doing that because all along the way, we had been following the wise path. We didn't jump at the first thing we thought. We weren't jumping this. The opportunity presented itself to move early, and we thought, yeah, because this is the right decision. It's the wise decision for our situation where we're at right now. And so we felt comfortable making that decision. The second element that helped us make that decision was that we had felt all along like the Lord was walking through that process. And it's weird because oftentimes you think that if you have a wise plan and you go through those steps, sometimes you walk away with the impression God's being left out of it. That's completely the opposite of what this wisdom is really talking about. Wisdom is making decisions all the way along the line in light of what the Lord is doing in your life. And so we look back on this process and we look back at the decisions that we made all along and seem like the Lord was a part of that process. So when the opportunity came for us to make a decision to go into it quicker, we said, yeah, let's do it. We've been comfortable. We've been doing a wise process up to this point, and the Lord has been working in it. My challenge for you, my hope for you, is that as you this week are looking at the decisions that are coming ahead, I want to challenge you to begin thinking about your life and saying, am I being wise? Am I being a person who's making decisions by trying to figure out what is the wise thing to do in this situation and then doing it? Am I being a person who is focusing on making a decision based upon what the Lord has given us already in the Bible? And am I making a decision based upon my love and affinity for wisdom? And if that's not the case for you, then my challenge for you this week is this. First off, make one decision this week and really think through what is the wise thing to do and then do it. Second of all, if you don't do it already, memorize at least one proverb this week. If you need a suggestion, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 is a good one. And last, if you're at that place in your life, really think through the ways in which wisdom can be something that is worth loving in your life.
Good morning. This is the part of our service where we celebrate the Lord's Supper together. You don't need to be a member here, but if you're a born-again believer in Jesus Christ and you've been baptized for your faith, we welcome you to join us. If you didn't happen to grab a cup on the way in, please raise your hand and we'll make sure that one gets to you. And over the last few weeks, we've been looking at different aspects about communion and trying to tie them into the sermon as available. And I admit this morning was a little hard until the very end, and I thought, you know, this walking wisely. The King James translation in 1 Corinthians 11 talked about those who would take the bread and the cup unworthily. And they translated that wrong, and that led to hundreds of years of English-speaking Christians thinking, wow, am I worthy or am I unworthy of communion? And modern translations, thankfully, have fixed that and have now said in a worthy manner or unworthy manner. And so I wanted to bring this up this morning. This is what it says in 1 Corinthians 11. So then, whoever eats the bread or drinks of the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ eat and drink judgment on themselves. And that is why many of you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep. So this issue in the Corinthian church was so bad, Paul was telling them, some of you are sick and some of you have died because you're doing this in an unworthy manner. Now, I had grown up, and I'm sure many people have heard this, that, you know, this unworthy manner means having unconfessed sin as we come to the Lord's table. The problem is that's not what the text says. And in the context both of 1 Corinthians as a whole and chapter 11 in particular, it actually pertains to how you are looking at the body of Christ. So the major problem in 1 Corinthians is divisions in the church, factions. Paul says, you know, some of you say, I follow Paul, I follow Apollos, I follow Peter. And then he says in chapter 11, this is back in verse 22, do you despise the church of God by humiliating those who have nothing? So not only were there the Paul camp and the Peter camp, there's also the rich and the poor. And they were, you know, the rich people were having a feast at communion and the poor people were having nothing. And Paul was saying, you're despising the body of Christ. And so as we come to communion, this idea of unworthy or worthy participation has to do with how we are treating one another in the body of Christ. How to make sure that we're not dividing by any human characteristic, that if we have any grudge or anything against a brother or a sister, that we're making sure we're reconciled week by week as we come to the Lord's table. And so as we come and take the bread, says this in 1 Corinthians 11, this is verse 23 now, for I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Let's partake together. And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. After the service, if there's anyone who would like to talk or have someone pray with you or have any questions, I'll be here at the front, and Pastor Forrest will be as well, and we would be most delighted to speak with you, so feel free to come and see us. And if you would, please rise for the benediction. Benediction just means blessing, and we'll go to the Old Testament for this one. This is the commonly known as the Aaronic blessing. This is what Aaron told the priests of Israel to bless the Israelites with, from Numbers chapter 6. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And may the Lord's countenance come upon you and give you peace. God bless you and have a good week. We're dismissed.